The KevinDevin.com website will now activate a required weekly test of the emergency podcast system. If this were an actual podcast, important, relevant information would follow. Once again, this is only a test.
Welcome to another edition of In the Trenches, the podcast for systems administrators and IT professionals. I'm your host, Kevin Devin, and today is Monday, November 29th, 2004. You'll likely be getting this on Tuesday, November 30th. So, been a long weekend. I meant to try to get a podcast out before the holiday, but I was not quite as successful as I had hoped. And then I also thought about putting one out, during the weekend, and that just didn't happen either. I decided it was a good time to just kick back, relax, enjoy family, enjoy friends, and just enjoy the holiday. So that's what I chose to do. So if you're looking for a podcast and didn't get one, I apologize. But hey, that's the way it goes. Oh, so hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I certainly did. Was able to do a lot of things this weekend, as a matter of fact, because of taking the time off and, just tinkering around. Got to catch a couple football games and all that. At the end of last week, I finalized the logo for the site, for the In the Trenches logo. I even put a blog entry up on the blog. And I am extremely pleased with it. Chad Davis did that for me, and it just looks awesome. So if you haven't seen it yet, go take a look. KevinDevin.com, the logo's up, and I'll be including that, as album art as well. So it turned out great. It really did. You also notice that I don't think I've mentioned it in a podcast yet, but the website also now has Google Ads, and that is in an attempt to offset some of the bandwidth costs that I'm starting to rack up here. These longer podcasts are the ones that are seem to be chewing up all the bandwidth, of course. So if you happen to be on the site every once in a while, just go ahead and take a click here and there. I mean, it doesn't hurt nothing. Every little bit helps, and by no means am I looking to make a lot of money or get rich by any means. My hope is just basically to cover some of the bandwidth costs. So along those lines also, in conjunction with the new logo and bandwidth costs, I've also put up a cafe press site. So if you're interested in a little bit of geekware, go check it out. On the website, you can get to it, kevindevin.com. And if you look in the right-hand corner, there's a ITT swag button. So click on that. Go check it out. There's some T-shirts, mugs, hats, all kinds of little goodies with different logos. Mainly with the main logo, but I did add one in the mix, a definition that I created. I was goofing around on Friday, and I decided to make a logo, or not necessarily a logo, but I decided to create my own definition of podcasting. And so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. Basically, it's along the lines, if you go to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and how they present their words, I did it something along those lines. Give the pronunciation, the function, and this is in the form of an adjective. Let's see here. Podcast, one, to cast or scatter auditory drivel. Two, made public by means of the internet and MP3 files consuming large amounts of bandwidth. And three, of or relating to the act of disseminating information that only geeks can appreciate it. So anyway, I've got that on a couple shirts as well. So like I said, none of this is to make me rich by any way. It's basically just to pay for bandwidth and the site, and see where it goes from there. You'll also, along those same lines still, not so much the monetary, but if you happen to be an ITT listener, in the trenches listener, I've created a little bitty button so that you can place on your websites if you so desire. So anyway, enough about the logos and all that stuff. Excuse me. Let's see here. I did get some feedback this week, actually just this evening, that I wanted to pass along. I've gotten one from Matt, who says, I just started listening on Saturday. I've been feverishly trying to listen to all your podcasts. Actually, for me, it's probably a KioCast, since I'm listening on a Kyocera 7135. The stock MP3 player on these Kyoceras leaves a lot to be desired. Does anyone know of anything better? That's a good question. Anybody know of a better MP3 player that'll work on a Kyocera 7135? If that's the mobile edition of Windows CE, or brain cramp. I'm not mistaken. I think Robert Klusterhaus had a piece of software that he was using on his XDA. So that might be one. So maybe I can get some info from Robert on what that app is, and maybe we could pass that along to Matt. Anyway, the tech chat seems to be an awesome idea. I just got Skype, but I'm not sure what to do with it yet. Another victim, I guess you could say, a participant in the tech chats that we've been doing. I didn't do that one this weekend, mainly because I did one last weekend, and like I said, this weekend was the holiday. So I'm hoping to do another one this coming weekend. It'll be another early bird, and I'm gonna try finalizing the participants and the topic that we'll be covering sometime probably today, tomorrow or Wednesday. That way we can all be kind of ahead of the curve and not go in there kind of blind like the last one. So looking forward to that. On an IT note, I am pleased to announce that I finally have a successful backup. Can you believe it? Oh, man. Oh, in all, I think I've got an almost entirely completely new setup. You know, we troubleshot the software, you know, Veritas Backup Exec. We determined that was not the problem. Troubleshot the drive itself, and who is it? Quantum. This is a DLT drive. They've got a nifty utility out that you can test these drives with. So I'm going to put that link up to that software, and if anybody has a DLT drive and ever comes up into a problem, they can run it. And what's cool about this is it tells you, now granted, I'd have to look at it again, the results, the log file that it produces, but the technician went through it with me and told me what to expect. You know, he could tell you how many hours it's been running on that particular BIOS or that firmware. All kinds of things. It was really kind of interesting to, you know, for him to decipher that information. I have to look at that log file again and see if I can remember what he told me. But anyway, I'll post a link to that software so anybody has a Quantum drive, they can test their own stuff if they come into a problem with their backups. But anyway, I'm almost on an entirely different setup. I mean, I really am. I moved from a Windows 2000 professional machine that was doing all of our backups, and I moved that over to an actual server, Windows 2000 server. Now the hardware that I put it on is far beefier. It's on a compact ProLiant, you know, ML330 G3 rack mount server. So a gig and a half of RAM, plenty of disk space. I put in a brand new SCSI host adapter to handle that, dual channel. Let's see what else we got on that thing. Brand new cable, brand new terminator. Used a different drive than the one that was giving me fits to begin with. And again, like I said, it's on a different, wholly new server, completely new server. Now the upside there is, of course, one, I have backups. But two, I can now, because I'm running on Windows 2000 server, I can actually use the remote desktop software, you know, for a terminal service to get into that box. And I tell you, that alone makes it worth the hassle that I've had to go through. Being able to sit here at home, you know, VPN into the corporate net and then go right to that box, and just like as if I'm sitting behind it. It is just so great. In fact, this weekend I took and I ended up bouncing a couple of servers, you know, using that exact method. So remote capabilities, man, you can't beat them, I tell you. Let's see. Now, one of the things I've done with the backups now is I've created a whole different structure. I've grouped the servers together of the types that I want to back up and how I want to back them up. So they're a little bit different. I've got file and print servers in one grouping. Our Domino mail servers in another grouping because they're clustered. Let's see what else. And then I've got two SQL servers that are grouped together. And the reason I grouped them like that is to one, you know, one of the backups is doing, you know, both two of those settings right now. Oh, and I've got another grouping for Linux boxes too. So now what I plan to do is I plan eventually to take in on that second channel on that SCSI host adapter, hosting a second tape unit. And what I plan to do there is balance out what I'm backing up across two machines, because my backup window, I mean, when I was backing up before I had all those catastrophic events here, let's see, I'd kick off a backup on Friday at 7 p.m., and it would not finish. Now, granted, there's a verify pass in there. It would not finish until around noon on Monday, you know, and so that is just absolutely horrible. So my hopes is to shorten this backup window that I'm taking up and spread it across the two servers and get these things done in a reasonable amount of time. So that's the plan there. And when I do that, by grouping the servers the way I've done, it's going to be easier to offload those jobs to each individual server. What I'll also do is, because this unit, this server has a second NIC, they're both gigabit NICs in them, I'm going to be dedicating one each tape unit. It's going to basically have its own gigabit NIC. And of course, those are fed into a couple, you know, of Cisco Catalyst 3550 switches. So, gigabit backplane, you know, it ought to move along pretty nicely, I hope. So, that's the plan. You know, I'm looking, I'm feeling much better about the whole situation, you know, now than I was a couple weeks ago. I came across in my travels today while I was looking this up and trying to troubleshoot some of my problems. I'm still having a problem with getting the remote agent working for Linux. And I think I have a strong suspicion that my problem there is the firewall software, IP tables running on that. It's a Fedora Core 2, I believe, Core 1 or Core 2 server. So I have a feeling that's where my problem lies, is in the firewall. So I should have that one resolved by the end of the week here. And I came across an interesting link on, you know, troubleshooting backup exec Unix agent that I'll post on the blog here. But one that really intrigued me was one from David Farquhar. I'm sorry, I'm messing up that name. I know it. I'll put a link to his blog as well. He had a blog entry, and it was earlier this month, as a matter of fact. But it was the title of his blog entry was "Wake Up Your Backup Exec Remote Agent." You know, and he puts it out there, you know, pretty clearly that, you know, he has no idea if Veritas sanctions this method or not. But if the agent doesn't seem to be responding, what he is taking to do is telnet into that remote server using port address 10,000. So rather than the standard, telnet port 23, he would just telnet, you know, at a DOS prompt if you want, telnet, you know, IP address space, port number, and that was 10,000, you know, 10000. And apparently, you know, when he first did it, he got a bunch of garbage on the screen, closed the window, opened it back up again, doing it again, and voila, it worked. So I don't, like I said, don't know if that's a sanctioned thing from Veritas. I doubt it, but interesting way of troubleshooting and hopefully waking up a remote agent you know. So if you ever have that problem, check it out. Let's see. What else do we have here? I think I'm running about it. I got listener feedback. We covered the tape drives. Yippee, skippy, yay, good. Oh, and I'll end this on a kind of a personal note. I started my Christmas DVD this year. Started it this weekend, as a matter of fact. Started out, and I've narrowed it down to, 208 different 208 different pictures to be included, and I think I had 4 or 5 different video clips. Well, I've broken them down into sections, one big thing that happened with us this year was baseball and, the fact that we had season tickets. And so I've got a section on baseball and then a section on school and graduations because our middle son graduated from high school this last summer. Yeah, and little things like that. So I've got I think I've got 7 or 8 sections. So, and of course, I worked on this most of the weekend. But things just really didn't start clicking until, of course, Sunday evening, naturally. So I started putting that together. I got one segment just about done. It's, of course, the baseball segment. Worked out really well. And if all goes well, I should have that completed here. At least a couple of the segments I'm hoping to have completed by the end of the week. I'd like to get that out in the mail or start pressing them out to a DVD to disc here, this weekend I'd like. So got a long way to go and hopefully it won't take me too long, but I'm looking forward to getting that out. I'm looking forward to wrapping up. I mean, I really enjoy creating these. And I tell you, it gives me a whole new appreciation for these guys who do video editing. Wow, a lot of time goes into this stuff, and it probably helps if you know your stuff. So anyway, that's going to do it for me tonight, and I thank you for your patience and for waiting for the next podcast here. But the next one I hope to get out here on, I would say, probably Thursday, unless I have something urgent that I really want to get out. So till then, everybody take care. Talk to you later. See ya.
You've been listening to In the Trenches, and now it's your turn. We'd love to hear from you. You can email Kevin at kevin.devin@gmail.com. Your suggestions and thoughts, both good and bad, about this podcast are always welcome. And we'd love to hear your show ideas as well. Audio email is always best. You never know. We might use it in a future podcast. Again, you can email Kevin at kevin.devin@gmail.com.